Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal court in the District of Columbia has now removed the church restrictions, and also Minnesota has followed suit. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me to discuss these developments is Holly Mead. This is a great decision, Holly. It comes from Judge Trevor McFadden, who was nominated by President Donald Trump in 2017 to the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. He issued a decision last year with regards to some Baptist church in the district with regards to removing some restrictions, and now issued another order, this time regarding the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Washington, that ultimately removes the remaining restrictions. And what we had here is that the court ended the 250-person cap and the 25% limit on church services, stating that these attendance restrictions are unconstitutional and that they are an outlier in comparison now to the rest of the country.
Yeah, this is a Roman Catholic Archbishop of Washington that filed suit against the mayor, Muriel Bowser, and her restrictions. So this was a great win. And like you said, this judge, we really love this judge. We have seen nothing but great rulings from him in regards to these churches.
Yeah, and the judge wrote, the district court's order, or the district's order for the District of Columbia, states that houses of worship may admit no more than the lesser of 25% of their capacity, or 250 persons. Yet, after the district's repeal of the same limit on food sellers and big box stores selling a range of essential and non-essential goods, those entities are subject to no maximum capacity limitations. In practical terms, he says, this means that the archbishop's churches must stop admitting parishioners once they become a quarter full. But Whole Foods or Target can take in as many customers as they wish while complying with social distancing requirements.
Yeah,
he goes on to say that, you know, this reflects a lack of adequate consideration for the constitutional rights of these churches.
The district would no doubt acknowledge that there is a risk attendant in many activities it has classified as essential, such as picking up a bottle of wine or takeout from a local restaurant. But the district has permitted essential businesses to stay open because the public's need for those things apparently outweigh the risk. On the other hand, the judge says, the district's restrictions have not recognized religious exercise as essential in the same way.
You know, this is a great decision, and it removes now the remaining restrictions in the District of Columbia. And we're working with a number of churches, by the way, in Washington, D.C., through our ministry center, that are having Bible studies in our ministry center. And we're having multiple Bible studies there in the ministry center in the District of Columbia almost every day of the week, and even on weekends, Saturdays including Sundays, with staffers and other people, from young people and new members of churches. So this is a great decision.
That's a great mission field there, you know. And I love the part of his ruling last year on behalf of Capitol Hill Baptist Church when he said, and I remember we talked about this last year, he said, it ignores the church's sincerely held and undisputed belief about the theological importance of gathering in person as a full congregation. It is for the church, not the district or this court, to define for itself the meaning of not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25.
I mean, that's a perfect.
I love that.
I love that. You know, the judge gets it.
He
gets it from a theological standpoint. He gets it from a constitutional standpoint.
And a common sense.
And you know, there's not one Trump-appointed judge,
right,
that has ruled against any of these churches in the country.
Right.
Not one. I mean, that goes to show you the importance of having good judges on the bench that understand and respect the Constitution. These cases, frankly, Holly, should be a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And we've argued that from the very beginning. And yet some of these judges, oh, no, you got the pandemic. Yeah, you can have liquor stores with no limit, abortion clinics. Those are all essential. The warehouses, they're essential. The big box centers, all these other places, you know, Home Depot, those kinds of things are essential. well, you know, it's not essential to go find picture frames or garden hoses necessarily or potted plants. But that's all part of these particular stores. And you can go there with unlimited numbers of people, as long as you socially distance. And you can go there for unlimited numbers of time.
And they shouldn't be restricted, nor should the churches be restricted.
And nor should the churches.
We should have that freedom.
Exactly. So the fact that they singled out these churches for these discriminatory restrictions is blatantly unconstitutional. And frankly, it's a no-brainer that it violates the Constitution. And it's great to see these judges get the message.
Right. And we had another good news from Minnesota. The governor has ended the state's 50% occupancy requirements on church attendance there.
Yeah. In January, the 250-person limit was revoked, but the 50% capacity restriction remained.
And it took three churches filing suit, as we have been doing all along. Three churches filed suit against that.
Yeah, they filed suit saying that these executive orders from Governor Tim Walz were unconstitutional, and also against the Attorney General Keith Ellison, the Muslim Attorney General in that state. Mm-hmm. And they ultimately, in their complaint, said that the executive order, quote, criminalizes conduct of church attendees, suppresses the plaintiff's ability to worship and practice their religion in houses of worship, and restricts the ability of the plaintiffs to associate with other members of the faith. You know, the turning point in all these, Holly, is on Thanksgiving Eve, when the Supreme Court and Justice Amy Coney Barrett became the fifth and deciding vote, replacing Ginsburg, and ruled in favor of the New York synagogues and churches against New York's restriction. Then a week later, on December the 3rd, ruled in our favor, granting our petition, vacating the orders below, and directing the courts below to fall in line with its ruling that it just issued. And so we went all the way back in Harvest Rock Church, Harvest International Ministry, to the lower district court, and the Obama-appointed judge, well, no, these restrictions, even though they're worse in California, no worship as opposed to 10 or 25 people in New York, those restrictions were bad. California was worse. But this judge in California said, no, they're constitutional. So we had to take it up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We have a 2-1 decision there against us. We had to go back to the U.S. Supreme Court. And then on February 6th at 1 o'clock a.m. on a Saturday morning, we got the ruling from the High Court striking down this total ban in California.
You know, it's just unbelievable because the Supreme Court has said, okay, the water's fine. Come on in. You know, worship. You're free to do so, which we already have been free to do so because God gives us our freedom to worship, not the government, not the state, not any judge. But some of these governors and some of these judges have been a little more hard-headed, and you see their agenda by continuing to try to keep them oppressed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we're still litigating in California.
It's been a year now. We're still
because
litigating.
Because California then, where it had a total ban, it imposed a 25% restriction. And then where it had a 100-person, it had that as a 25% person restriction because we struck down the 100 and 200 person limit. But in every one of the four tiers that it has, it's discriminatory because, again, just like in the District of Columbia case, you have all these stores that have unlimited numbers of people that they can accommodate. But places of worship in California, even though the total ban is gone, still are laboring under these discriminatory restrictions.
You know, it's like the Egyptians under Pharaoh, you know, and Moses says, let my people go. Well, it's time to let my people go.
Well, and remember what happened, you know, he said no, and then finally things got rough for him, and then
right.
He said, okay, and then he changed his mind, then he said, okay, when it got rough again, then he changed his mind, and finally, you know, he let the people go, and he still changed his mind.
Right.
And ended up, you know, coming to his demise, as the book of Exodus talks about. Well, these governors, even though the Supreme Court has made it very clear, they don't want to give up the power. They don't want to give up these restrictions. And so we're litigating in California still. We have two wins at the Supreme Court in that case. We're back at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're litigating in Maine. We're at the Supreme Court and at the lower district court. We're litigating in Illinois with the Romanian churches there. And that case is still ongoing. We've been to the Supreme Court with that case twice. And the restrictions are removed, but we want to make sure the governor never goes down this road again. We never want to go down this road again. We've been on this road for 1+ years. It started in March of 2020, and we've been litigating ever since, sometimes day and night, sometimes through the weekends, through holidays. And we've made a lot of progress, but we still have more road to cover. Continue to pray for our ministry, the pastors. There's some incredible pastors and churches that we represent. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.